is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. We'll talk with singer-songwriter J.D. Souther in just a moment. But first, comedian Louis C.K.'s monologue on SNL last week made light of racism, child molestation, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Some people took to Twitter to criticize Louis C.K. One man on Twitter wrote, "Hoping victims of child molestation miss the disgusting SNL monologue by Louis C.K., so done with him. Sex abuse, not funny." John David Souther is a renowned singer-songwriter, and he's touring promoting his new album. So how did John David turn into J.D.?
I don't really remember who started calling me that. I thought it was Jackson, and I accused him of that. And he said, no, it wasn't me. He says, because you used to turn in all your songs with J.D. Souther on them, because you told me you had seen the Bach manuscripts, and everything said J.S. Bach instead of Johann Sebastian Bach. And it's true. And then eventually people started calling me J.D., and I don't care.
Do you come east that often, or is this something, you know, like a once-a-year tour that you do on the East Coast?
No, I'm all over the place. I was just in New York last week for the week, and you never know where I'll turn up, Mike.
But it's not that random, right? I mean, if somebody does actually tell you where to go and what day.
Well, we sort of arrive at the decision together, but yes. I mean, I do have a new album out, so I have to go play some gigs. And
all right, so tell everybody about this new album.
Well, it's wonderful, and no home should be without it.
Oh, I see why you've lasted this long in the recording industry. You have a good sense of humor. But why should people have it? What is it about this particular album that you want to tell people about?
Well, it's a beautiful record. It's very cinematic. I mean, I'm sure that I hope all the songs hold up one at a time as well, but it's really designed as a set. It sort of came out of me wanting to make a movie, and turns out making an album is a lot less expensive than making a movie. As I said, it's very cinematic. It tells a story. Some of the songs are written in the form of some of the, say, the Cole Porter songs of the 30s and 40s, where there's a little verse before the song starts. And sometimes there's a little string quartet introduction, and then a little verse with no tempo, or rubato, as we say, on tempo. And then there's letter eight, and the rhythm starts, and the sort of first paragraph of the book starts. You think of them as little prefaces to novels or short stories, but they're all very story-driven songs.
So dance real slow. What's the audience you're trying to hit? People that just like your music?
Naked girls.
Oh, my goodness. Really? Just naked girls?
I mean, they can wear something if they want, but
you'd prefer naked girls listen to this. I understand.
I think probably if they're out, you know, the song starts, "I see you over in the corner, nursing your big girl drink." So I imagine in the beginning of the song, they're fully clothed and probably just having a cocktail, possibly looking a little bit lonely. And the song is a very generous invitation to join me.
You know, looking through your bio, the songwriters you grew up with, are it's an incredible list. And, of course, you're one of them. Did they learn from you, or did you learn from them?
Impossible to say. I probably reflect the influence of every bit of music I've ever heard, from the first opera that my grandma played me when I was 2 years old to the things that I was listening to and writing with my friends in California and New York and Nashville. I've probably have touched by everything I've ever heard. I don't have an entirely photographic memory, but I'm if I like music, it stays somewhere stuck in my head.
Yeah, now I've spoken to many songwriters over the years, and one of the things they tell me, like the big hits sort of come to them all at once with the music and the lyrics, almost like a dream, and it just flows out in a very short period of time. Is that your experience as well?
Well, aren't they the lucky ones?
No, it doesn't work that way.
It has a couple of times, but then sometimes, well, it depends on the song. Some of the simpler ones, yes, "You're Only Lonely" took exactly the amount of time it takes to sing it. Actually less, because they didn't have a last verse. So Waddy Wachtel said, just sing the first verse again.
So he gets a writing credit for that.
No,
Oh.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't get a writing credit for saying he doesn't need the last verse. He doesn't get paid for that. Well, here's an example is New Kid in Town that I wrote with Glenn Frey and Don Henley. The chorus of that song did come to me. It's just in a finger snap. And I was playing it with my band in rehearsals. And as the Eagles were preparing material for the Hotel California album, as we always did, we sort of gathered around the table, this time at Glenn's house, and, you know, it was, what do you got? What do you got? I don't know. What do you got? So I played them that, and they went, yeah, that's it. And we all set to work on filling in the gaps and making the story, and it took a while. That song took months, actually.
Did it really? Yeah.
Others not so much. Best of My Love, I was actually playing backgammon at Peter Asher's house, and Don called me from London and said, we need a bridge. What are you doing? I said, I'm playing backgammon with Peter Asher. And he said, can you get on a plane? And I said, all right, I'll come over in the morning. So I flew to London the next day, and we finished the song, and they recorded it. Simple as that.
And Heartache Tonight, I noticed, co-written by the three of you, plus Bob Seger. How did he get involved on that one?
If you want the play-by-play on it, Glenn and Don and I had all of the verses finished, all the story finished. We just couldn't quite figure out what to do with the chorus. And, you know, Glenn Frey is old friends with Bob Seger. They used to make music together in Detroit. And Glenn had Bob on the phone, and he sang him the song up to where he sang the first two verses. Bob came in on the downbeat, sang the chorus. Glenn said, thank you very much. called us and said, we got a fourth writer on this. And I just remember saying, well, it better be good. And he said, it's real good. And I heard it, and I went, great. Definitely. Good job, Bob. Good job, everybody.
How would you describe the evening? It's obviously stuff from the new album, stuff that you've done that were big hits, the classics that you wrote for other people, everything included?
I think you just described the evening.
Well, that's what I figured, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, yeah, we're not going to do the magic show this time. And the dancing girls wanted too much money. I wasn't going to give them a raise just to go to Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, so they're staying in Vegas, and we're going to come to Connecticut and do the do our trio set. It's a lot of fun. We play a lot of great songs. Some of them are old, some of them are new. A couple of them are way older than me, even. And some stuff from the new album, some of the hits. It's a fun evening.
I've always had trouble with your last name. I know now that it's Souther.
Yes.
But do people call you, like, Souther and things like that? Because I've heard your name mispronounced by other people in radio.
Yeah, I know.
So it's Souther.
It's definitely Souther.
It sounds just like it looks. Okay.
Exactly. It sounds exactly like it looks. And it's, I think what happens is people sort of read ahead and they're familiar with the word Southern. So I think they just, even subtracting the N, I just think that if they're guessing, they figure the safest guess is Souther, but it's the wrong guess.
Gotcha. And, you know, it's so funny when we booked this interview, I was telling somebody at an appearance, and on came Hurt Town 2 right behind us on our station. And I said, well, there you go. There's JD and James Taylor. What a great song.
JD and JT, yeah. Thank you very much, yeah. It was a fun song. That was a very easy song to write. That's a good story, too. Waddy Wachtel and James Taylor and I were hanging out at my house doing nothing in particular. And Waddy said, let's write a song. And James and I, being sort of natural slackers, looked at him and said, why? Really? What about? And we came up with a topic, and Waddy started playing this really pretty figure on the guitar. And James and I started throwing lines back and forth at each other, and pretty soon we had a finished song, and that's pretty much exactly the way the record went down, too.
And let me just ask you one more question about being on Nashville. Are you enjoying that? I know you've done other acting. Is this enjoyable for you? I guess it is, Nashville.
Yeah, it was a fun show. I like all those people. It's a very enjoyable cast. Actually, one of the nicest things that's happened on that show this year, I wasn't on it this year, but they did a song that Eric Kaz and I wrote, Deacon and Raina, which is, of course, Connie Britton and Chip Esten, performed this song Eric Kaz and I wrote on the show at the Grand Ole Opry. And it was performed it all the way through. instead of being cut up like they usually are, and it was just a beautiful performance. Also, it was a great, great episode. I can't remember what the name of the episode was, but it was 315, sticks in my head. It was episode 315, it was this year. But yes, they're wonderful people, great people to work with. Callie Khouri is the creator and boss of the show, and also happened to write and direct that episode. And nicest people you could possibly hang out with.
And just one more comment. I have your official photo here that they sent me. And didn't your mother ever tell you to tie your sneakers, young man?
Over and over. Why do you think they're loose?
Rebellious even at this age, right?
Why change now?
Exactly. Hey, listen, JD, thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Hey, we'll be there. Thanks, Mike. It's a blast. I hope we see you there.
Thank you. I hope so, too.
All right, man. Bye.
With JD Souther, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.